So I should be going home, but this is for Rachel.
Yeah.
So, and I'm a bit of a Shanoz fan, so this comes from that tradition. I heard the story, Orma Aher. Now, if you haven't the Gaeilge, well, sure, this time it doesn't matter. This rural Éireann tragic tale relates a sad, seductive scale about lust without discretion. Agus beag na grudi ella freshen. Long ago, fado fado, in a little town named of Carroll, it buchan ma, name of Mihal Maur, an only son of 44. His intellectual needs were drawn from books like Peg and Isagon. And so it was, bleeing in, bleeing out, our Mihal hardly moved about. He dreamt of Colleen, most men do, but he never sinned on digging to. Meanwhile, up in Ahaclea, Colleen Jass had bright idea when Lane to Sarah time came by, decided she would like to try all your cume, like Carro, no foreign food, not far to go. And there she would meet the native clan and bathe her bag herself a man. This Colleen Jass, with eyes so blue, was known in town as City Sue, and she had the Bukalia crawling, and all agreed she was gahauling. But she left those men in state of shock. Oh, Mihal Maur, be Cormac. The light shone in the parish hall at the local farmer wearer's ball. The Mihal Aoun, the Susie Aoun, dressed in a most revealing gown. Our brave Cuchulainn of the West, with hurling medal strapped across the chest, exclaimed when City Sue came in, "And I'm on and tape it, would you fear their shame?" Though nervous yet, he took a chance. "Hey, me, Fodger, would you like to dance?" Galua on the floor they strut, cheek to cheek, from head to foot. Susie whispers into Mihal's ear, "I shall now less disappear. We'll use my room, the door's unlocked. Here's the key, it's Shoma." Aha. Creased Mihal's head was in a shmin. He wasn't thinking thoughts in our shin. This dirty Jezebel would surely damn his soul to hell. He could hardly stutter so awful her mirror rubber. Straight a while into bed, 10 decades of the rosary said. Now Mihal, he still sleeps alone in the lab of Bliog, a corn a corn, and he often dreams of Shora a hot, and what might have been poor me Hall Pot.
Not a word, that foreign language of mine. Not a word. Thanks. Thanks, Julie.
I suppose there's a couple of things that happened to me over the weekend. I hadn't been writing, I hadn't written anything in 7 or 8 weeks, so I was kind of waiting for something to come. But more importantly, I've been waiting for years for the country to finally show that they have still got a spirit. And the two things kind of came together over the weekend. And today, we managed to put this together. I think it needs another bit of work, but this is where it is at the moment. It was on All Souls Day that I witnessed the soul of a nation lost for generations regenerate. Driven by pain and pouring rain, our citizens joined the campaign to remind political careerists, so sure their vision is the clearest, that those who cast the votes are the ones that matter most. What joy to hear the people's voice once more. How great to see rebellion rise from the floor. What a thrill to feel my heart flutter. And with every word those people uttered, my own soul soar, my moral compass roar. For it's right to say that right is on our side, that for too long we've been adrift on a tide, awash with lies that empty our pockets, while government protected bad dockets of a precious few, those with golden shoes. So Mr. Kenny, tear up the promissory note given to bankers you too often do quote, and focus instead on promises you wrote when cap in hand you came seeking support. For the people have spoken, and we are anything but broken.
Thanks very much, Stan. Helen Kavanagh-Roman. Because I can see the upper house on the lakes, you know, where people cross from the upper house, the slowest lakes and cross. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Do you want me to lower the microphone?
Yeah, please.
No
problem. Miss Lee and me, watching the ebb and flow of human city go, back and forth, punctuated by Mary and Anne's bells. Red light, green light, postures all wrong, some with arms swing, mouths moving, mostly gaping. The Lee doth bob and sway, bored green with verbal vomit, from stereotropic voices whittering on, empty tales of desk job boredom and dole scum roaredom. Her algae-driven brain is hoping to eavesdrop on a modern-day Joyce, Ulysses. He's way home, longing for rarity of talent to emerge from opera house door. Listening, as she flows on she goes, until the fresh water wedge gives a jolt of hope. And the evening lulls into distant dissonances of Balkan utterances, mingled with lilting Corkonian drolling and lolling, moaning and sobbing, in a culture of inattentiveness. Sighing. Over the bridge, back the bridge, run the lights, wait for yellow bikes, on, and fade in silence into the denouement of today. Trickling, threading to cross the cobbles, theatrically lit to Knapp Square, tail at the ready in the air. Yikes, there's one. Rolling, no, to John. Flowing on, no genius yet, just a dullard parade and fashion stayed. So roll around again, Miss Lee, to live your cursed eternity, hoping your water will stay free, and someday perhaps you might meet me.
Thanks very much. Next, we have Patricia Walsh. Before we begin, I just wanted to explain an archaeological quirk. The Killeen is a place where unbaptized infants were reared. Because it was the thing until the 1960s that if a child died before being baptized, it could be buried in consecrated ground. So they had to kind of bury him in some more far off corner of the churchyard, or sometimes around Christian side as well. So to follow on from the story, Jack, the place has been broken into, and the whole situation then sent Jack, the caretaker, over the edge. And the drafting of a place, but it's kind of a case of from out of the frying pan into the fire. Here goes. Jack's replacement, Matthew, was a soft-spoken individual, unless it was to make a valid point of religion. Having happily ensconced himself in a nun's house, he made a point of examining the plaques on the walls dedicated to nuns, and he made this in stained glass window. Ah, Sister Assumpta, as the zealous and committed servant of God. You don't make servants of God like that anymore, do they? Later that evening, Paul observed his bedroom door was ajar, and witnessed a large crucifix in the corner and him kneeling praying under his breath to it. This guy is freaking. In the meantime, Wheeler, in a new role as director, had a task of a newly covered Killeen to excavate. She quickly gained a reputation as not taking grief off anybody. That's a Sammy, you might have a crumpled grave here. What's a crumpled grave? Said Astella. A burial of one of the United Irishmen of the 1798 rebellion. The reason I think so is that the hillock was covered with wild barley, but she cropped his hand and pockets while on the run, and germinated in the soil where they were buried. Well, most of the top soil isn't taken for a deer, so we can't be sure, but time will tell. In the meantime, we have the shovel scrape what's left. Well, 30,000 people died during the 1798 rebellion. This place won't take company one or two graves, rebels or not. Ditto farmer burials, too small. Be careful, whatever you crop of graves, there are definitely bones of children here, especially newborns. Once the initial shovel scrape is over with, Wheeler, who now walked to his counter, gently told the staff to go easy while trawling. Some of his bones were very small, many being ignored newborns and were very delicate. Their cover of sieves handy, and they were going to see some serious action. Got that, people? Everything has to be put through the sieves, okay? Already the killing was churning up bones and teeth, also fragments of gravestones. Wheeler insisted to carve stones to be kept separate in a bundle outside the actual excavation. There, there might be a chance that the pieces of stone might jigsaw-like produce a complete grave slab. Matthew, however, had a tackle of scruples. They should disturb his graves. Let them rest in peace. In Britain, they analyse them and then bury them in consecrated ground. What to do with these in Ireland? They're resting in peace in the wood compound, said Barry. Is the site related to Thinkfort? Of course it's related to the bloody Thinkfort. Why is it right next to it? That's all well and good. Which came first, chicken or egg? How long is a piece of string?
Just talk about celebrating all things Irish. The underappreciated genius of Flann O'Brien is taken to the stage on Wednesday, as it is Saturday, in the granary, production of the Third Policeman. If you would like to come along. And then, in other news, it's called False Economy. Said the boss to the sweating worker, turn up the heat. Their thirst will grow. The cold drinks will sell. Fine. Earn the price of a pint. Spend it on your heating bill. Call your cynicism efficiency. Call your society an economy. And prove yourself false. Thank you.
Hearing the head of Irish Water, whatever his name is, on the radio today, finally spoke, said something, and he refers to the Irish people as customers. Not citizens of Ireland, but their customers. So next up we have Foreign News.
As people were coming in tonight, I had my headphones on and I was watching a YouTube video on my phone of myself. But there is a story behind that. I was on the Ovale YouTube website and I was dictating my own poem to paper because it's a poem that I read at the first open mic night that they had in the...
Which one?
Where was it again? The Cork, the Cat Club, which used to be called Teakfeely, sorry, back in April 2007. So it was a long time ago, and it was I had been writing a lot of journals for a long time, but I wanted to learn how to write creatively, and I had said I'd love to write more creatively. And I walked down Patrick Street. The woman handed me a leaflet for a lifelong learning course, and that. In that leaflet was a lifelong learning course, and part of that was a poetry writing class. And I met Paul there, and my poetry teacher, a guy called Adam Wyatt, said, just take a little book out and just observe and write down what you observe. So this is one of the first times that I did this, and I did it in the Crane Lane. So I called it Bird Avenue, Crane Lane, Bird Avenue. So here we go. And this is what I wrote 7 years ago. It needs work, but I thought I'd tell it as I wrote it then. So peach chandeliers, retro artwork on the wall, the dark, creamy temptation. Checkered shirted man drinks the last of his tonic. Harp seen but not heard. Red curtain painting on the wall, the horizon effect, rouge and Miles Davis, a kind of blue. €3,000 fine for one inhalation. The happy bar staff thrilled to be at work. With hints of Polish estrogen and Italian testosterone, the confident tubby man. Candlelit Smirnoff bottles, the creamy ceiling above, the intoxicating dessert menu, and the two honeys from Moldova. The jazzy blue beat, I sit here, tamed, present, alert, awaiting the next moment, or maybe it's already here. A quick visit to the Jacks on my return, above me, the dark beams of oak with more history than I, blanketed with meandering cobwebs of green, above the dark blue of night, no crinkle did I notice, and the secure goddess, with presence of confidence, with humor of beingness, I wonder if I have the godlike qualities I think she requires. As I write and share my passion, the secure goddess has vanished, and she reappears, and Miles Davis watching everything in a humble, satisfying way. Thank you.
So four next in the open mic, so if you could just keep it to obviously just one piece. So Mags is up next. Charles, do you mind going up?
A few lines from something I've been working on. I'm not happy with it, so I'm only reading a little bit. A Carefully Castle from the South Lake. I then look at the postcard and wonder, whoever looks at their own reflection in the South Lake, a Norman castle looks smudged in the Salon series. 1968. The grim fortress looks warlike and well defended, its round towers deal death to the intrepid and the unprepared. Such is my meditation. At Caerphilly, on a rough day, the lake repels idolaters and saints. Death, but spell remains in you.
Thanks so much. This is just an exact description of a walk I took a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning, and kind of a little bit kind of phases a bit. So basically, soul search. A chocolate lab lumbers along the slogland. A flock of guillemots plays chase, flying low and just ahead. My colleague Karen levitates his little aerial springs in a jumpsuit of tuxedo markings, and joggers heave by, looping with Valgus Vera's knees, pronated and sweating. The search and rescue van parks on the opening bend. Someone is missing. Cyclists swish by, and a daddy steers his little pink, fluffy, sparkly, wobbling in her stabilisers. Little truculent buggies trundle straight ahead, and juxtapose in their path a command centre. Clusters of ruddy, puffy eyes. Flex digits cradle tepid stale coffee in polystyrene cartons. And parish mouths suck an inch of ash from a dead butt. A mother cries the comfort of her first creation, her little Adam. Someone is missing his name. The first Helen. First mate helms his orange rib to sear a ribbon of backwash.
through these khaki, dark, murky waters, there's an echo for me. The first breath of Genesis on a rib begot a first mate too. They wait their time of ebbing equinoctial tide with sharpened vision. Seek a hall of blighted love, unseen dreams. No random apple will fall in this sad estuary's harvest. To the man I'm missing, he's from here. A white yacht bears away, and a white gull softly glides the south wind. The white standard slaps with flourish over Black Rock Castle in vigilance. The Chinese salute for a lost spirit, and missing blindly search a new home. Cheers.
This one is called The King of the Road is a Poor Man with Ambition, or a planet title, Discovery. The path is narrow and the trees high, yet something ominous is looming. The signs are there, steps straying from the beaten trail, there that man has forgotten the where and why, and lost himself. They had started the walk together, as prepared as the life in civilization allowed. Let that overcrowded den without regrets, giving up scenes, loved, and not so significant others. The madness that stalks them out, for now men's, the bodies of all those free men, whom ripped the organ producing their safety, that an even crazier world with violence promotes and defends. All come from this very place, in which those men could not stay. But being of a different strand, their genial trials and failure would set the pace. Offering a sea of darkness and green hopes and fears, the wood are stretching on the far side. They advance and push forward, selflessly carving the future of their peers. They know not all of them will make it to the end, but that the fare that to this trip they accept to pay, because a journey is more about how than where or why, losing their existence to those insanity and genius that men.
And last but not least, Jusa.
That's my first time.
Okay, well,
Miko is coming after
him.
After
him. Yeah, okay. Hi, I understand my English.
Okay.
Well, how I feel, yeah? I want to say, I want to tell, peel off, naked off. Look like I'm from somewhere, but I'm not a who from so far away. I'm just new in town, the latest. What do I see? The mountain, so cold, far beyond so far. The tea want to throw the leaf away. But the leaf falling down from the tree. The white cow on top of the sky floating, that is myself. To get to know, I miss you. that is messenger for me. Looking at the sun, there is the same sun from home. The sky in the evening getting dark. The sun want to go away from the sky. The moon want to come to say hi. All the birds flying away their home. Always myself always says, life is full of surprise. life. Don't be afraid to be different. You must know how lucky you are, and don't give up. Let's get to fight for your life. Must know stone is the stone they are. The water is still going to the stone. Don't give up. Let's get to fight. Thank you.
I think we're going from juicer to juice harp, am I right?
Joe harp, yeah.
What do you call it? Joe, but is it a juice harp you're using?
Joe harp.
Joe harp.
Thank you.